You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
My text actually isn't from the two readings that were brought to us earlier. But he's taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, and the last part, if you like, verse 8, the last part of verse 8, it says, when the Son of Man comes, i.e. when he comes again, will he find faith on earth? When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Question of the first variety, my friends. Finish the phrase for me. When the going gets tough, absolutely. But the question begs itself, in which direction? In Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, there's another lovely story, this time of the rich young man. You remember he came to our Lord and he said, what must I do to be saved, to get eternal life? And Jesus asked him a question in return and expected him to answer about how he'd lived his life up to now. And Jesus said, well done. Now, go away, sell up everything you have, and give it to the poor. That's a tough thing to hear. And indeed, quite scary. So let me ask you another question, this time of the second variety. What scares you most? Think about it for a minute. What scares you most? The question was actually put to a select BBC audience. And I wonder what you think the list would contain. Indeed, what were the top three? Well, in third place, it was looking in your rearview mirror and seeing the car behind putting on its little blue light. In second place, it was going home, only to see as you arrived home that your front door is wide open. But the thing that scared people most, the thing that they feared most of all, was, in my eyes, a little surprising. No, it wasn't snakes, or spiders, or indeed heights. It was being asked to speak in public, i.e. to more than two or three people. That was the most scariest thing that people had. And I can see one or two of you nodding as much to say, yeah, that's me. Even if it wasn't your number one, I am sure that somewhere it would have featured on your list. You know, interestingly, when a church, and I speak, as I say, from 25 years of pastoral ministry, when a church is looking for volunteers to give their testimony or to share their faith, it's usually a case of two paces back rather than one pace forward. Maybe that's why churches seem to fill up from the back. Why so many people seem to sit towards the back, and I'm so pleased that those of you that arrived later had to come and sit at the front. But you know, it is true to say that sharing our faith, standing up, it is scary. As I say, maybe sitting towards the back is so that you can try and hide when the pastor is looking for somebody to do that particular task. And there are all sorts of excuses in my experience. I haven't got the time. I wouldn't know what to say. What, me? Tell others? About Jesus? Help! Where's the nearest exit? Which is why I draw encouragement from one of the most famous parables that Jesus gave to us. The one that was read this morning, the parable of the sower. You have it in Mark chapter 4, Matthew chapter 13, and Luke chapter 8, in some form or other. Why do I draw encouragement from it? Well, because it seems to me it faces the problem head on. Problem one, not knowing what to say, or indeed how to say it. How can I speak to others when the Bible is hard to interpret? And yet my knowledge seems also so inadequate. So what a relief, my friends, when you look at this parable again. What a relief to note that the disciples, those that Jesus chose to be with him and learn from him, had the same difficulty. You just have a look at Mark chapter 4 and verse 13. Even though, he said, don't you understand even this parable? Even then, he still didn't abandon them. He still didn't discard them as hopeless cases. But he sits them down and explains to them, Mark chapter 4 and verses 14 through to 30. You see, my friends, in any church, it's not how clever the pastor is, and I say that with the greatest respect, my friend. It's not how clever the pastor is. That's important, but not so important as how brilliant our teacher is. And I know that Darren and myself and many others stumblingly try to use our ability to do the teaching. But I'm talking about the best teacher of all, of course, the person of Jesus Christ. What does he say in Proverbs? Or what did we say in Proverbs? Do you remember? Have a look at it in verse 7 of chapter 3. Don't think yourself wiser than you are. Simply obey the Lord. And like James, James was one of the disciples there with Jesus on that day. He wrote in James chapter 1 and verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let them ask God. Let them ask God. Friends, we don't know it all. We might like to think we do at times, but we don't. Indeed, if we're honest, both with ourselves and our children, grandchildren, whoever, we all have invisible L plates on. It's more important that we simply get alongside the expert. You notice again from our parable that Jesus, that the disciples did exactly the same with Jesus. But he did it, they did it privately, quietly. And then they came together to share what they had learned. And there's a lesson there for you and I. Actually spend time quietly with God and allow the teachings of our Lord Jesus by the Holy Spirit to sink deep into our hearts and our minds. When we have a problem, what did he say? Come to me, all ye who are burdened, exactly, heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. It's the words, we know them, but so how often do we put them into practice? And yet if knowing how or what to say is a problem, so too is the time. The time involved, giving that time to share it. I've no time, I'm too busy. It's so hard. Of course, that's all true. It is. You know, one of the greatest things that we can give to our neighbours, to those around us at times, is some of our time. Just think of how Jesus began the story of that parable. Mark 4:3. There was once a man who went out to sow. Okay, spreading, sharing the word or seed, if you like, isn't an easy task. Politics is very much in the fore at the moment, but as I was preparing, I was thinking back to 1992 and the name of Chris Patton. Some of you of a certain generation will remember that particular person. And one of the quotes that he made, which has stayed with me, is, "We have all got work, we have all got to work till we drop, and then pick ourselves up and work harder." And dare we, I ask, dare we care less about God's kingdom than a politician or politicians do about theirs? Farmers, of course, go out in all sorts of weathers to try and produce a good crop. Well, I wonder sometimes, is that same commitment in us? Another illustration that I came across recently from talking to another retired colleague who'd been on holiday. He'd come back recently from a holiday down in Cornwall, and there he had witnessed the inauguration of a new lifeboat station. Grand opening, brass bands and all, uniforms and demonstrations, of course. He couldn't remember who actually cut the ribbon, but you know the sort of thing I'm talking about. Really lovely time. Night time comes, everybody's gone to bed. And all of a sudden, the weather's changed from being a nice, calm, beautiful day when this lifeboat station was opened to suddenly blowing up a howling gale. And at 2 a.m., the lifeboat crew were called out to go and rescue a ship that had got into difficulties. Now, when they went out, indeed, when they fell out of bed, in response to their bleeps, no mass crowds, no applause, just a lifeboat crew doing their job. When the town awoke the following morning, the vast majority of them, all was back to normal. The storm had died down, and it was actually quite a calm day. And yet, almost unseen, lives had been saved and real work done. Which is what it can be like sharing the Word of God. Yeah, hard work, often unappreciated, and yet of vital importance. And my friends, I'm not just talking about going around and knocking doors, because that often, I have found in my experience, can be counterproductive. It's about seeing opportunities as you go about your day-to-day tasks, whatever that might be, bumping into people from wherever they might come, and seeing the opportunity of just giving them a little bit of time. And without bashing them over the head with the Bible, because that's not what it's about. It's about quietly sharing your faith. Or it might even be that you go around and you do something without even thinking about it, that somebody has noticed and thinks, there's something different about that person. And they may just come and ask why you were prepared to go what we would term the extra mile, to reach out and to try and show love and compassion and mercy to somebody in need. Now, we live in a success-driven society. I used to dread going to ministers' fraternals. You could guarantee that somebody would say to you, "How's it going for you?" And you'd never have the courage to turn around and say, "Flaming awful." Because that, in the eyes of your peer group, at that time, would appear to be failure. My friends, no matter what we do, in what sphere of life we work or operate, each of us goes through tough times. Each of us. It's interesting. Even ministers, even churches, fall into the same trap of thinking that they've got to grow bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's success. No, no, no. Success comes, it's nice to have numbers, of course it is, forgive me. I'd be doing Daryl down if I didn't expect him to fill your church at some stage. But it's not about filling the church. It's about being the church, reaching out. A church that is turned outwards, not inwards. And that's not easy sometimes. It's lovely to be in our group where we can sing praises and worship God and enjoy life very much together. But my friends, if we're not turned outwards and looking out and seeing how we can touch other people's lives and share the love of our Lord Jesus Christ with them, however it's done, then we are not succeeding. We're not succeeding. We fall into the same trap. And that's where, again, this parable to me is such an encouragement. Because, of course, farmers also experience so much failure. The path rejects the seed, and the rocks have too little soil. The weeds choke the growth, and only good soil produces anything. And let's face it, that can sometimes be variable. And okay, There is a flaw in that particular picture. I don't know how much good soil there was around. But you get my drift. The interesting thing also when you read this parable closely is that there is no sense of triumph in the story. It's more about the farmer's faithfulness. An American author, which some of you may or may not have come across, because he's an author that goes back now again into my midlife times, into the 70s, 80s, etc. An American author called Robert Schuller. And he wrote a paraphrase of a famous quote that you may have heard in Baptist circles very often. He simply said, "I'd rather attempt something for God and fail than attempt nothing for God and succeed." I'd rather attempt something for God and fail than attempt nothing for God and succeed. Let me go back to the text that I quoted you this morning from Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. That part of verse 8. When the Son of Man returns, and of course he will do, that's what we're told in the Bible, and you can take it as gospel, in God's timing he will come back again. But when he does, will he find faith on earth? Yes, sharing our faith with others can be tough going. But I challenge you, here in this part of God's kingdom, will you allow that to be your excuse? Or will you, like the lifeboat crew and the farmer, simply get on with it? Amen.
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events, and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.